Hey, you guys, before we start the show proper, just a reminder that this Saturday, April 6th, I Love Gringo Letters Live returns to the Melbourne Town Hall as part of the Comedy Festival. Last weekend was so fun. It was packed, so many letter lovers, and it's looking like this weekend is going to be even fuller. We've got mystery guests, including some international surprises. It's going to be awesome. We can't release the names, but trust me on this one. Get down there. Don't miss the action. Nothing beats being there live. Sydney Comedy Festival, Saturday the 11th of May. Tickets are already moving. The link is on ilovegreengoggletters.com. Also, iTunes users, we have got the new I Love Green Gogletters video feed podcast. So subscribe to that. Catch some video footage from the live shows. And now, on with the show!
Good afternoon, folks. This is Green Guide letter lover Arthur Comer. Those of you who have followed my career will know I did a lot of time teaching in school. I never ever had to fail a student, but there's one bloke who's a total failure, a chap named Steele Saunders, because I spent an hour with him recently, and at the end of that time, he still couldn't pronounce kilometre correctly. Now, this is the Easter season where we celebrate the death on a cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a very important time. But I do need to say that I do love Green Guide Letters, and so does your host. Please welcome the man himself, Steele Saunders.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to I Love Green Guide Letters, the podcast where we talk about the letters to the Age newspapers, television and radio lift out the Green Guide. I am Steele Saunders, and I do love Green Guide Letters! What has happened to my lounge room? This is insane. Jerry's not going to be happy about this at all. Thanks for coming, you guys. How far do you go back up there? Well, we've got some in the grandstand. Very nice. Let's a round of applause. He'll definitely be listening to this. Big cheer for Arthur Comer. So we are here, first show. I don't want to disappoint anyone. I don't know, the Comedy Festival, they're kind of a bit of a stick in the mud. They would not let me install the giant porn screen over there. Just invent your own. Just think all holes filled or something like that. Speaking of all holes filled, Rolf Harris, he got a mean Green Guide letter this week. It turns out the kangaroo did not want to be tied down. Does anyone here have no idea what a Green Guide letter is? No? What an informed audience you are. Okay. Has anyone ever not listened to the show? Yeah? And by your friend lifting your arm, you've never risen your arm before either. So many firsts today. If only we had the porn window for you. Okay, so what brings you here? Thumb. Okay. Okay, her, or are you just really bad at Fonzie impressions? Hey, should we bring out our guests right now? All right, let's do it. So, in order of seating, I don't know what's going to happen here, but let's get the round of applause going from Triple J, Mr. Tom Ballard! From Eurovision and Santo Sam and Ed and Cup Fever, let's welcome Sam Pang! Oh, through the chute. And of course, from The Late Show, from Get This, a true Australian comedy icon that he's so happy to be described as, welcome Tony Martin!
Yes!
Thank you. I overheard Tony and Sam talking out the back.
Right.
And Tony was like, was it Sam? You say, like, every time you go on one of these things that turns into a This Is Your Life for Tony.
Tone would like to speak about current day issues and the future projects, but everyone actually just wants to talk about The Late Show and get this and...
Celebrity Splash, what's your opinion? What's that? Celebrity Splash.
Am I missing something good there? What's Celebrity Splash?
That's a future show that's going to be complained about.
Right.
It's Adam Richard and Josh Thomas learning how to dive. So,
right, cool.
You're looking at me like I'm making this show up.
And this is a good example of why people don't... They always talk about your old stuff, Tone, because you don't know anything about the current day.
I'll go on Celebrity Splash. Laurie Oakes, I think, would be the ideal finale. I should just say, on the way in, I realised, by embarrassing accident, I'm wearing this, which I figure... Wearing this to the... This is, for people listening, the T-shirt for the podcast. Wearing this to the actual podcast is a bit like... When you go to Coles and you're shopping and you're hearing down, down, deeper and down, you're going, I've come here, you can stop playing that now. I'm not going to suddenly decide in mid-shopping to go across the road.
Yeah. Just take your iPod earphones out.
I'd like to think all prog rock bands will be handing their music over to Coles.
And how are you, Thomas?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm happy to be described as a comedy icon, for the record, if you... I'm totally fine with that.
We've got some other words to describe you later on, buddy.
Fuckhead, all right!
They couldn't fit icon in those 75 words or less, unfortunately. And Sam, welcome, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. How do you get a T-shirt?
Sam, you can buy one downstairs for $30. That is...
Thank you. That's half price too. That's pretty good.
Can I get a lanyard as well? I seem to
You can borrow my lanyard if you want.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Do you want to? You have to get a bowl cut though, and have a cat sit on your shoulder. So
I've been worried because the age is downsizing. I was worried that because there's the EG gone. I was worried that the Green Guide would be phased out.
Well, this show's only going for 15 minutes,
right,
so
okay.
It's just like race against time. For like this podcast to make me successful before the newspaper stops. So,
well, it's not on the proper green paper anymore. Have you noticed that?
No, it hasn't been brought up.
Hasn't been brought up every issue. Mr. Smoke too much.
Hey, in Tone's defence, Tone only listens to podcasts that he's on.
Yeah. Just to remember the good old days to reflect
while he's recording it.
That's right.
It's the Harley Breen podcast fandom. Well, Santo was on last week, and I have to say, he was dropping bombshells about The Late Show.
Really?
That job warehouse.
Right. Yeah. It's closed now, isn't it?
It has closed. And he sort of said that maybe it wasn't as legit as it was, that maybe he wanted the
it
donkey.
It wasn't the main guy, the scary guy wasn't there. So there was the equivalent of Peter Luck. was running the shop that day, and he had to kind of crank up the anger, but he wasn't happy. I do remember that.
Oh, no, he said it wasn't, you weren't inside an actual horse. That was the devastating bit for me.
Right, okay.
I thought you went down and got one of Tom Waterhouse's painted horses and got inside it.
I think we went to Mad Gear and got... most of our props were from Mad Gear.
I met some girls. Is everyone, the stacks of slacks... sketch. I met those girls at work there once, and I go, "Oh, have you ever seen?" Yes.
Yeah. Sick of that. We never included, because about four doors up from Stacks of Slacks, or where it was, is of course the Steak Bank, which is a steak restaurant in a bank. Which head over there if you haven't experienced that. That was fantastic.
Didn't realise meat was so expensive.
Yeah. Have to withdraw. A porterhouse. It is.
You'd be annoyed if you were a bank robber if you went in there, really, isn't it? Like, give me all your... Oh, fuck, just steaks. All right, fine.
I don't have a Green Guide letter about me this week, but I should actually delete this off the Facebook before you guys get home. I got interesting feedback this week from someone. Very blatant. I'll do this. This is on my Facebook page, on the Green Guide Letters Facebook page. Just listening to an old podcast. 19th of August, 2012. Not very funny. Such a surprise, because it's usually so good. I replied, quite tongue-in-cheek,
I'll re-record that one this week. And then she replied, not the sound quality.
Normally your sound quality is hilarious.
Are you here? Because I want us just to stink it up, just to piss you off.
She'll well, be loving this one.
I got mentioned twice.
I was August. I thought that was maybe the one I... No, clearly not. That was around the first one I did, I think, in August. So, nailed it.
Yeah.
All right,
great. Now, that episode was funny for everyone but you.
Yeah.
That was,
that's all right. Yep. Dark times.
Sorry? Steve Fear. Oh, no, that was the other one. Yeah, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Why'd you have to bring that up? Okay. Steve Fear was a man that came to our Sydney podcast, and he was on day release, I think.
Yeah. He had a really gay backpack, Tony. It was it was a nightmare. Yep.
God, I wish he was here.
Yeah. He came on and we just talked about The Late Show. It was amazing. Right. It was great.
Okay. What did Steve Fear contribute?
Fear, actually. A lot of scared podcast listeners. The Sydney shows in a month are going to be quite empty because we scared them all off. Guys, how about we love some Green Guide letters? What do you say?
Woo!
Yes. All right, let's start off with a classic Tom Ballard letter.
I wrote this one. Yeah, I wrote this one.
This one's called Amanda Pips the Man.
ABC News 24's Amanda Shalala co-hosting Triple J Breakfast with Alex Dyson on Monday was brilliant. Not since Marie Carty have we heard an intelligent and witty female co-host on Breakfast Radio. Compared to the normal rudeness, arrogance and profanity from Tom Ballard, it was a breath of fresh air. Nathan Tonkin Stratford.
What a cunt. I am a terrible female co-host. Yes, I admit that fully. I've tried. I was highly amused. That was really nice. I mean, Triple J Breakfast hasn't had a female co-host since Marie Carty, so a bit of a slap in her face. Yeah, I mean, that's Nathan's opinion. I should have prepped something for this, hadn't I? I knew it was coming. Look, I mean...
I thought his name started with C, but...
I had a week off, so Alex had a bunch of co-hosts, and Amanda and Alex are just lovely, lovely people who probably had... I didn't listen to the show, I was sleeping in. But I'm sure they had lovely chats about life and sport, and it would have been great. But, yeah, I like to say dick and make people feel uncomfortable a bit. So I guess that's not Nathan's deal.
Is it hard to be that arrogant so early in the morning?
I just read a few reviews before I go on air and think, yeah, like you've nailed it sometimes, Tom. And these people deserve to hear you on their way to school and work. Fuck, you're great. You should make that really clear on air at all times. So, yeah, that's what I was going for, really.
Rudeness, arrogance and profanity.
It yeah.
Obviously didn't have room to add in white supremacy, so...
You know, when he selected Amanda Shalala, I thought, yeah, she'll be great. Is she anti-Semitic, though? And clearly not enough. Look, good luck to the wall, I say. And my contract lasts till the end of the year, so fuck you, Nathan!
Very nice.
I can't believe this is a roast. Did you know we were here for a roast?
That's right.
Thanks, mate. Did you get a lot of feedback with people who despised get this, Tony?
Oh, God, some management would often write in. Mostly. We would try. I don't think we ever wrote in ourselves. The nearest I did to that was when I was on something called, which older people might recall, something called the Mick Molloy Show. I would call up Neil Mitchell's show just as an old man and complain about the show. And he was on... Our enemy in the Green Guide was Ross Warnicki. I think you... Did his name come up on the Sando one?
He did,
was
yes.
Was that the whole podcast? He's dead. But, so cop that. But he had a segment with Neil Mitchell, and they were slagging off the Mick Molloy show, but neither of them had seen it. So I just called in and said they were doing appalling things with the young woman was ejecting ping pong balls from her nether regions, and I don't think this is Channel 9 entertainment. And this went on, and then the next segment, Neil Mitchell's going, so you've probably heard about this ping pong incident. So it suddenly had solidified into fact. And then I got on every week for 3 weeks in a row complaining about things that actually hadn't happened on our show. And then finally after the third one, the next caller after me went, Neil, do you realise that's just Tony Martin putting on a stupid voice? And then Neil Mitchell's right, oh, is that right? Well, let's see if he's got the guts to call back as himself. And I never did call back. But then Mick Molloy's mother was listening 4 weeks later to the show, and a genuine old man was on the show making some obscure complaint about council regulations. And Neil Mitchell just interrupted and went, hang on a second, this is just Tony Martin putting on a stupid voice, isn't it? And it wasn't, so... But I have been... I do love the idea of writing in and complaining about it.
You would have been
show.
Desperately yelling, my name's Arthur, it's Arthur! Yeah. Think of the children!
I might have mentioned this last time, but I had letters 3 weeks in a row in the Green Guide in the mid-90s. How nerdish is this? Always complaining about Channel 10 playing the Larry Sanders Show in the wrong order. And it was 3 weeks in a row. And then the third week was in a box. And it was like, you know, it was like I should have a regular column.
Ah.
Just complaining about...
Letter of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the Eddie Wilgar of your time. That's
it's great. Important that, you know, it's an important issue. Episodes being played in the correct order.
How about we bust out this one? Don't get it.
That could be applied to any of us. That's great.
Why axe Tony Martin's brilliant show? Get this! Triple M needs to understand that its demographic is changing and that it's okay to have shows with a little intelligence, political satire, film and music references, and humour!
And that's from Gemma Jameson, Box Hill.
The fact the word demographic is in there suggests that somebody from the station may have written it, but I don't know, intelligent, I'm sure. I just know that every time there would be a letter about intelligent satire, people I know would go, I tuned in and you were talking about Stephen Seagal's ass for 9 minutes. It wasn't all, yes, minister. Often it would just be adding farts in a gap in a song.
You know, that's a good point, though, because every job that you've had, when you've got the arse, they've always mentioned, management always talks about the demographic. Yeah, is that right. Something you've ever, ever considered, Tom?
I really don't quite, even still to this day, know what demographic means. I haven't felt the urge to look it up. But I always remember they would do the station. If you work in commercial radio, you always have to run these promos where it's, here's what people are saying about Triple M. And it's just people in the street who are going, you know, I'm a big fan of the music mix. And they're always, and what's happened is they've sent out people in the Black Thunders. No one wants to say fucking anything about Triple M. So they've just got it written down on a card. Can you read this out? We'll sling you a 3-pack of CDs. So you can always tell the people in the street always using, I think it's an ideal music mix for 18 to 35 year olds. Always using terminology that the promotion departments would use.
If I work for a company, I'd choose this station to advertise on.
That's right.
So radio stations just think that they want their station to take over people's life. Like, Nova's... Live life, Nova. Your entire life should be consumed by Nova. No, it's 15 minutes of my day. Fuck off. It's not that big a deal.
Well, it's the word variety is always the whoever. No one uses variety. Have you ever gone? Gee, I tell you what, I love Fox FM. There's so much variety. To me, variety is a fire eater should come out and then plate spinning. But there's like just every promo is like the variety. They've really got the mix right, and the variety is really hitting the demographic.
Did you get any of that stuff at Triple R? Is it that kind of focus on?
About demographic?
Yeah.
No. I love the music mix. The Triple R.
They've hit the perfect mix of playing an entire Sigur Rós album in full. Yeah.
Triple R just gets a lot of angry street art.
Triple R is it's a weird beast. You know, like they don't. Like, I know kind of listeners and viewers don't like change, but Triple R, when I started doing breakfast, like it was, you know, it's like I came in and just raped the building or something. Like, they didn't like that I was, no one liked that I was there. And then I remember they have radio.
No one likes a building rape.
No, I know. I did it as a call-in. Do you want me to rape the building? Give us a call now. But, and Tony, you've done radiothon there. When you come in and there's all these volunteers and they're great and they're taking the phones and someone thought it was a good idea to send me out to the green room and have a chat, you know, with the volunteers. So I grabbed the mic and I went out, roving mic, and I said, I looked into the back of the studio. I said, so, you know, who's your favourite breakfaster? You know, I mean, just as a... They said, Chris Hatzis. who had worked there 20 years ago. And I was just thinking, you really hate me. That's right. That's my feel-good Triple R story.
He's your Marie Cardi.
Yes, yes.
It never happens until, like, it's yeah. When we started Triple J Breakfast, people despised us, and many still do. But, because radio is all about familiarity, so it's about being on air for ages and building up that trust, and then you become part of people's routine. The best success you can hope for is waiting for people to despise the people who take over from you. Like, that's a badge of honour, and then in maybe 15 years, people were like, oh, yeah, Tom and Alex are pretty good. You know, like, that's maybe the best you could
look forward to that come January.
Get your eyes off my job, Shalala. Yeah. Piss off.
And I think you just fucked up your chances with Nova as well.
No. So. Hey, Steele, I live my life, Nova. For the correct amount. All right.
Here's another one about Mr. Martin and his friend Ed Cavalli. And this is just a stream of conscious letter. This is... so many things that Channel 10 has to deal with this one. So when you write your Green Guide letters, you guys, stay on topic. Don't don't bounce around. There's any you is it? Oh, okay. This name is not good. Starts off with a term I don't even know. So this one's called "Shake Up the Schedule."
I refuse to watch streamed shows, Life and House, until CI, NCIS, and SVU are streamed too. 10 should screen Smallville and Veronica Mars on Fridays and return The Wedge to an earlier time slot. We thank God you're here and before the game finished for the year, the only local shows on 10 are Rove and Fix Greater. Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli should have a weekly show.
It does sound like we've written that and just put all that other stuff at the beginning to draw your attention away. Who would mention the Wedge needs to be on earlier?
H. Simpson Bayswater.
Oh, no. So.
You know, I think H. Simpson ideally would like Ed and Tony to present a best of the Wedge. I think that's what is happening in that letter.
If your surname is Simpson and your first name starts with H, and it's not Homer, why would you put H. Simpson? That seems insane to me.
What are they saying? They're not going to... They're sitting there, the finger hovering over the streaming button for NCIS, and they're going, well, until they simultaneously stream Veronica Mars, no, I'm not having it.
What does that mean, stream?
I don't know.
Like, it's a website term, but are they streaming shows...
Maybe they mean broadcast. Maybe they just fucked up. It means just put it on TV. What? No, I don't know.
Okay. They mean the catch-up, don't they? Is that what they mean? Do they still have the catch-up?
No, but like...
not the Catch Up the Show. Good God.
But you also got to think it was a time when the Wedge was on. So that was like 5 years. Like technology, there wasn't much streaming then.
Wouldn't have
so.
Been were there pictures on the internet 5 years ago? Not sure.
Barely. Okay, let's bust out this. Oh, this one's very important. You're a sporting man?
Yes.
This one's about sports.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is right up your alley, Sam Pang. This one's called Bad Sports.
Is this an archive or from this week?
This is this week.
Okay, cool.
Sorry,
we've stopped with the This Is Your Life, but with tone.
Yeah.
Have you run out of ones complaining about Sam? Surely you've got.
Oh, righty.
There must be some.
Don't turn on me, tone. Just a bit. No first year Eurovision ones.
What were you telling me that people complain about something they don't even do anymore? The Wogan? What do they complain about?
Oh, yeah. First year Eurovision, which is 5 years ago now, there are a lot of complaints. The fact that SBS wasn't showing, you know, bring back Terry Wogan. We shouldn't have to listen to Julia and Sam. We should be able to just listen to Terry as always. Yeah, Terry retired. So he wasn't over there doing it, and SBS just weren't taking it. He was at home. So that, you know, it was.
I want a live webcam from Terry Wogan's house, watching the television, giving me his thoughts.
So that was, you know, that was weird.
You know Wogan, that's for sure.
I know, I'm there.
Wogan it up, buddy.
Terry Wogan never raped a building, that's for sure.
Or if he did, it was hushed up.
I'm very concerned that that's going to be my new catchphrase. You know what I mean?
Picture of a building in the paper with the top two floors pixelated. Can't tell what building it is.
Bad sports.
Last Sunday, the ABC News had extensive coverage of rugby union, rugby league and soccer, but nothing on the first round of the Australian-New Zealand netball competition. Given netball has extensive participation by women of all ages throughout Australia, the lack of reporting on the ABC is lamentable.
Was this letter written by no one?
Tom, we have one rule.
One rule, don't interrupt the letters. I'm sorry.
What's the rule?
Don't mention the paper that it's printed on. That was one I didn't hear about.
Well, we've now got two rules. Don't talk over the letters and don't fuck the venue.
I can only do one of them today. That's fine.
I thought the ABC charter was to cater for everyone, but I remain disillusioned and disappointed in its coverage of male-only sport.
That's from Sue Peake, Malvern East, a regular letter writer, actually.
Oh, okay, you want me to talk about this one?
Yeah.
Let's just all contemplate it in silence.
Officially, I would absolutely say that that netball in this country has not had a fair go and should be on every night. Should have more of a profile because it is, that's such a big participation sport. Off the record, I would say that netball is basketball with all the good bits taken out.
And by that you mean men, is that...
Whoa. Yeah.
You'd agree with that, Ballard, yeah or no?
Was that a gay thing?
No, you're just really tall. A big, tall gay.
I don't care against sport at all. Put anything on. I will not watch it all equally. You know, I don't care at all. I mean, no, I think women's sport gets a shitty deal in this country. Yes, as a pinnacle point, the ABC charter is not to cater for everyone. I think the ABC is to, provide for, alternatives. So if there is coverage of something on other channels, then it should do that. Yeah, I think the ABC is sort of one of the very few broadcasters, if at all, that puts female sport on the telly, so they should do it. And the Australian women's cricket team was kicking ass overseas, and the men were eating shit. So,
so that smoothed over. Some sports.
I'd much rather watch the shit-eating show. That was great.
And any time you talk sports, though, is very, very enjoyable to me. So off you go.
I have a relative who plays, and this is not a joke, who is a champion in Tasmania of the sport underwater hockey. Does anyone know what that is? That is a real sport. It's played on the bottom of a swimming pool with...
bloated corpses.
And bloated corpses. That'd help get the numbers up.
It used to be on after the wedge. Well,
but because it's played on
Put the wedge on earlier, more underwater hockey.
But you can't film it because it can only be viewed by as many people who can crowd around that window in the swimming pool. So there's no way of filming it, so there's no way of getting sponsors. So it's essentially a sport played in secret. And so this friend of mine said once a year the news, like ABC News, will call up and go, we want to do a story about underwater hockey. He's going, it's not going to be the joke story at the end of the news. It's, no, we're going to do a proper story. And the whole family gather around the TV and the sports goes through and the weather goes through and then it'll be, well, we've seen some stupid sports over the years. Then there'll be 30 seconds on underwater hockey.
But it's also, it's not all the broadcasters too. I mean, it's that chicken before the egg thing. Like, it's the public interest, so, you know, if people aren't watching that stuff when it does go on the telly, then broadcasters are less likely to put on. And I know the ABC is different in that way, but it's, you know, the ABC still looks at ratings. I'm getting too serious here.
Well, you sound like you're trying to like remember contracts you've signed or something. The ABC charter is
Triple J broadcasts a woefully low amount of women's netball, and I apologise for that. I'm sorry for that.
This is a good one that we really could have done with a couple of weeks ago. And I spoke to this subject last night, and they were very happy to get a Green Guide letter. This one's called Like-Minded. Please like you. Actually, Josh Thomas, I do. It wasn't hard. I like your friends and family too. A lot. And that's from Chris Lem, Box Hill South. What a happy Green Guide letter that is.
Yeah, yay.
So what's it like to have your ex-boyfriend have a way better Green Guide letter than you?
Oh, look, it's just nice getting a mention. I think we can all agree I look pretty hot in that show. Pretty fucking buff. I love that show. I think it's really great. I think Tom Warden is amazing. I think it's really funny. Josh has been working on it for ages, and I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing that Josh has gone from a critically acclaimed, well-respected, six-part ABC narrative show to Celebrity Splash. But I was talking to him about it. I was like, why are you doing Celebrity Splash? It's like, you did this series, you do that. He's like, yeah, I like that. It's like, people aren't going to figure out what kind of career I'm trying to together here.
So Celebrity Splash is a real show. Yeah. Just working this out now. As
it's only Ding
there.
Dong. Yeah. Ding Dong's in it too. Yeah.
Right. What was that?
And it's hosted by Laurie Oakes. So,
what was that? What, you know in the show you think you've dreamed a show? What was that one? Remember Hole in the Wall? Remember that? Which wasn't what it sounds like. It was like just a half hour of people running at shapes. That was a show.
Filmed on location in a St Kilda park.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, don't go home and Google Hole in the Wall tonight. Don't do that.
Adam Richard was in that too, actually.
My dog is actually in two episodes of Please Like Me. One sitting outside a shop and one out of focus in the background in a park. And I put up on Twitter... People will complain about anything that you put on Twitter. I put a photo of a still frame of the dog sitting outside the shop. And I just got all these people tweeting me going, it's sitting far too close to
traffic. Is your dog getting more work than you?
Certainly
on
her, is. Jeez. Celebrity Splash, maybe.
What did your dog do on the late show?
I wasn't alive.
Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No.
Which one of yours do you want to do, Sammy?
What's that?
Which one of yours do you want to do? Do you want to do the Love This City one?
Yep. Fine. As long as it's about netball. I like this one. Am I the only one who actually read the letters this week?
We should have had this production meeting hours ago.
I didn't get a call sheet or anything. This is a nightmare.
I love that city.
Congratulations to Peter Mitchell and his show Peter Mitchell's Melbourne. Channel 7, Saturday, 5:30 p.m. It makes you realise what a great city we live in and how much there is to see.
And that's from Alan McGregor, Frankston.
Thank you for putting on a show showing parts of the city that I don't live in. To remind me how nice it is.
The only reason I asked you to mention that one is because I didn't know that this show existed.
No, I didn't.
No one did.
Who was it? Well, was
Peter Mitchell's, Mitchell's only realised that it's being broadcast himself.
Well, I like the idea that he that reading the news is not enough. Yeah, I mean, they've got him doing other things as well.
Right.
So, Peter Melbourne's what? Peter Mitchell's Melbourne? Sounds good, but like, you know, I think that that should be across the board. All other newsreaders should have to do other things. So they should have other shows.
Mal Walden needs more to do.
Mal Walden's murder mystery.
Isn't the best thing?
Something like that tone. They should have to do other things other than just read the news.
Mal Walden's train surfing adventures.
Step on.
Well, exactly.
But isn't the best thing on all of television, for me, is when Mal Walden cranks the shits on the news. Don't you reckon? The clip doesn't come in and he just goes somebody off camera. Right. Why are we doing this? You know, a lot of that. You can tell he doesn't like the weatherman, the guy who does the wacky weather. Who's on Channel 10 News? Mike Larkin, who used to just do the weather, just standing there, and then often he'll just be running through a park or he'll be in a marching band or he'll just be doing... I'd like to see Mike Larkin rob a bank while while actually doing the weather.
A steak bank would be.
And then he crosses back to Mal and Mal reports on it. This is us.
We're just getting reports that our own weatherman.
We're going live to the robber himself.
But often they'll come back from Mike Larkin and he'll have done the whole thing on stilts or something, and you just see Mal. How did my career get to this?
This one is not filled with common sense. Okay. What a shock. Driven to distraction.
After watching the Australian and Malaysian Grand Prix on One, I was furious! Why does One place advertisements in the middle of a sporting event? Does Channel 7 place ads when the football is in play? Channel 9 during an over of cricket? The standard of broadcasting is poor! Especially for a break-free, non-stop event! Just because Formula 1 does not have such a large following in Australia as other sports, why does One believe it can allocate advertisements at its leisure?
Ransom Booth Camberwell.
What?
Yes.
Ransom Booth
Camberwell.
Ransom Booth.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
I think.
Here he is. So what does he means that in others? Because I don't know anything about any sports, but there are some sports where the sport stops and they put the ads in there. Is that what's going on?
There is. Yes.
Whereas the cars are not. They're not going to stop for the ads.
and then
be queued and then recommence the race.
Yeah, they want like red lights to come on and then people to cross the street with like Valvoline signs.
I like that he used, is it Channel 7's coverage of the football and Channel 9's coverage of the cricket as examples of where it doesn't happen? I think that for the start of the AFL season, the cast of Pact of the Rafters were on the field.
The tennis is the fucking worst. The tennis is like these patronising commentators of like, and sure as heck looking forward to Celebrity Splash, I'll tell you that much.
It just doesn't make sense. It's like you can't go 4 hours of circles. So I'll tell you, car racing, right? People get in cars and they just drive around a track for hours. And they don't stop. And he's really
people
sad.
Watch that? Do they watch yeah. that? Enjoy that?
Yeah, you think you could just go down Punt Road every day.
I remember we did a comedy skit years ago called Channel 7's Badly Shot World of Sports. And it was...
Never shut up about the old things
I never
you
did. In my day, when we were doing Mavis Bramston in the 20s. But everything we did in that sketch was something we'd really seen, but they wouldn't let us show the real footage, so we just recreated it. And there would be things like a guy would be on golf, so where he has to hit a ball along there into that hole, and then so the camera's where you are, madam, and so the ball starts to roll, and then a super comes across with the guy's name, and you can't see the trajectory of the ball. Which there was that. That's if sports was all like that, I'd watch.
You just describing the sports is a television
that, did
show.
Did that make sense? A guy's hitting a ball.
I think
along
you said
there.
A guy on golf. I believe was the phrase. You used. Yeah.
The only sport I really do enjoy is the cheese rolling. I mentioned that before. That's a great. That is a fantastic.
And that
underwater hockey, and the one in Spain where they throw a goat off a church. I still, years later, no one can explain to me what the competitive element is, but that's an actual sport. Look it up. It's real. Hurling a goat off a church.
A live?
It's real.
A live goat?
I'm not sure. Would it be harder if it was...
I don't know.
Well, it'd be horrific if it was alive.
Yeah.
I'm glad the whole room's thinking about it.
Yeah.
As long as they're not female goats.
Type Spain goat hurling church into Google. You will see what I mean.
Hole in the wall. That was just a callback. There was no structure or anything there. That was just saying something we were talking about before. I'm in festival mode. Callbacks. That's important.
Hole in the Wall is also going to be the name of the docudrama of Sam Pang's building raping. So.
I'm Peter Mitchell, and this is the story of one man and one Melbourne building.
It's weird to have regrets before the show's over.
This one's called Blown in the Wind.
Here we go.
I think that's one of the movies I watch on the big screen. It's hot stuff.
Once again, digital television lets us down! The failed ALP leadership spill was compulsory viewing on the evening of March 21st. Unfortunately, we had to abort watching television when gusting winds disrupted the digital signal. Digital TV is meant to be an improvement on analog. Really? Why can't we have a dedicated analog signal for ABC News 24? End emergencies!
That's from Kim Cross, Campbell's Creek.
We had to abort watching. It's great. Just had to turn the telly off. Had to stop watching. We had to abort watching.
This is like
abort.
They're going to sit down on the couch. Abort. Get up.
Mayday. Mayday.
What do you think about the small percentage of people in this world who are hanging on to analog? What do you think? The future's good, looking good for them?
I still have a cassette player in my car, so I'm not one to judge.
And your laser disc collection? What else?
Taking up a lot of space.
It's weird that I thought voting was compulsory, not watching our votes not count.
Watching the spill live was interesting because they, you know, all stations went to it about 3 hours before the whole 4:30 caucus meeting or the vote. And so they had to fill by going to experts and experts and experts. And there was one on, not 24, but just on normal ABC, who said, look, my sources tell me that this vote, I've talked to both parties, it's too close to call. And then, like, the meeting goes at 4:30. 4:32, they come out, and it's like, Gillard and Swan re-elected unopposed. Yeah. Oh, just don't know which way it's going to go. It wasn't even a vote.
Sky News had a countdown clock in the middle, countdown to the vote. It's amazing.
But did you read when you heard Simon Crean might be the leader? Did you go, is he still going, Simon? It was like hearing a reference to Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Just something from the past. That's still going, Simon Crean, really?
Yeah. All right, let's hit our final letter, you guys.
Thank you for trying.
Aptly called Lost Cause.
On Friday night, I was gobsmacked by a promo for The Biggest Loser, in which Michelle Bridges told a contestant to choose between Pussy Street and Man Up Road.
I do love Green Guy letters.
Where do they dig up these bullies masquerading as fitness gurus? I've never watched the show, but the promos are enough to reveal The Biggest Loser as being exploitive, voyeuristic television at its worst. This is not a guilty pleasure viewing. It's simply shameful.
And that's from Merrin Canning, Brunswick East.
That is a terrible intersection, Pussy Street and Man Up Road. It is just a nightmare. You don't know where to turn. You got to do a hook thing. It's fucking mental. Yeah.
Pussy Street was a show that came on after The Wedge. No one saw it. Wasn't as bad as you.
Those are the options, Pussy Street and Man Up.
Man Up Road. After the show, we should go up Pussy Street and fuck some buildings.
Pussy Street, where the streets are lined with... Oh.
Surely Stop Eating Boulevard would be the answer for most of those fat people. Goodness me.
Let's thank our guests, you guys. Tom Ballard, Sam Pang, Mr. Tony Martin.
Steel Saunders.
Thanks.
And the Green Guide itself.
Yeah.
This has been tremendous. Tom, I am hearing fantastic things about your Comedy Festival show. It seems to have lots of little sold-out logos next to it. Tell us a little bit about that real quick.
Well, sold-out logo means that...
that I secretly hate you.
Yes, it is on at 7 o'clock at the Swiss Club. It's called My Ego is Better Than Your Ego. If you want to come, that'd be lovely. There are still plenty of tickets available for the next 3 fucking weeks. So do come. And if you're around tonight, Dave Cal and I are DJing at the Hi-Fi, so come on down and have a dance. That'd be great. Yeah.
Sammy Payne, got anything you'd like to talk about?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Same as to go, he's had his eye on Witches and Bridges for quite a few weeks now. A wonderful structure.
Pretty sure this hour signifies where the career went downhill, Sammy.
Bring back Terry Wogan.
Thank you. Tone, you've got a gig at the Pancake Bowl tonight.
In the tuxedo out the front, handing out the brochures. No, I'd like to plug a show called Upper Middle Bogan that I'm working on. That will just be so many letters to the Green Guide when you'll be talking about it for a year, I'm sure.
Hey, sorry, actually, because we are on a podcast, can I plug my podcast? I forgot I did.
Another podcast.
I forgot. Sorry, the dollars of...
It's called Buildings I Like to Fuck. Imagine fucking a pancake parlor. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
See ya.
Maple syrup everywhere.
Santo Salmonette is the name of the
podcast. I forgot the name of it! It's on Analog.
It's on Analog and lots of ads. And we sometimes just commentate the netball, so it's great. But yeah.
Very cool. Thanks, you guys. I'm doing a show at 10:45. The Steel Saunders' venue got demolished late show. I am getting review tonight, so if you can buy some tickets, pretend everything I say is hilarious. It has been awesome. Thank you, guys. One more time for our guests. I should say, it all happens again next week. We've got some awesome guests. We've got an international guest, but they're all secret. I can't let people know. I'll be downstairs, and there's like t-shirts and beanies and hats if you want to pick them up. We've got free posters and stickers, so I'll see you down in the foyer. Thank you so much, you guys. Give yourselves a round of applause. We'll see you next week.
Hey, you guys, if you enjoyed the episode, please let your friends know through Facebook, Twitter. If you've got a blog, do a little post. We love it and need it to spread the word. I do appreciate it.
You know that'll be edited, so it'll be at the start of the show.